NPR News in Washington, I'm Barbara Klein. Wisconsin's state workers are being stripped of most of their collective bargaining rights. The state assembly approved the law today by a vote of 53-42, with four Republicans joining all of the Democrats to oppose it. Wisconsin's Senate passed it late yesterday. Passage of the controversial bill is not expected to bring an end to weeks of protests in Madison. Dozens of farmers are planning to encircle the state capitol tomorrow with their tractors, and thousands of people are expected to join the demonstration. Forces loyal to Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi have retaken a strategic eastern oil port city from rebel fighters after showering them with tank and artillery fire earlier today. Meanwhile, NPR's Peter Kenyon reports France says it recognizes the provisional government in Benghazi as the true representative of the Libyan people.
There were new signs outside the courthouse in Benghazi that serves as home to the rebels' provisional government. They read, "Merci la France," thanking Paris for recognizing their interim council instead of the Gaddafi regime. A provisional government spokesman called it the first nail in the coffin and said he hopes more countries would follow. He also said he hopes that NATO will endorse a no-fly zone over Libya and that the UN Security Council will take it up and approve it. A number of countries have voiced reservations about a no-fly zone. Washington says it must not be led by the U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton also noted that no-fly zones did not stop the mass killing of civilians in Iraq or Serbia. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Benghazi.
Pro-democracy activists in Yemen are rejecting an offer by President Ali Abdullah Saleh to draw up a new constitution that guarantees the independence of the country's parliament and judiciary. Thousands poured into the streets today demanding Saleh's ouster. Construction spending in January fell to the lowest level in 5 months. That's a bigger drop than analysts expected. It increased, though, in one category. But as NPR's Paul Brown reports, even that may reflect tougher times for a lot of people.
Richard Cizik is president of the New Evangelical Partnership for the Common Good. He says as a Christian, he's as concerned about security as any American. He also says the overwhelming majority of Muslims wants nothing to do with radicalism, and Muslims have helped prevent attacks by tipping off police. So he says his worry is
that these hearings will be turned around and used against the very community that is the basis for preventing security threats in the future.
Cizik and other religious leaders in the protest event who've spoken with NPR say if the issue is radical behavior, investigate that, not one group. Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.
A big drop on Wall Street today after an unexpected trade deficit in China and growing worries that unrest in Libya will spread to other oil-producing countries. The Dow fell 228 points to close at 11,984. The Nasdaq was down 50. This is NPR. AOL says it's cutting 900 jobs around the world. That's nearly 20% of its workforce. The internet provider says it wants to eliminate redundancy from its purchase of the Huffington Post. Some 200 jobs will be cut in the U.S. 700 will come from AOL offices in India. Project Veritas, the group that released a sting video about NPR earlier this week, has released a second recording. NPR's Larry Abramson reports the video shows a would-be donor discussing whether his gift can be made anonymously.
The recording is of a phone call between NPR fundraising official Betsy Lilly and a man from a fictitious Muslim charitable organization. They are discussing a potential gift of $5 million. The would-be donor asks whether the gift can be made anonymously. The NPR official says it can. The donor then asks if it can be hidden from the government. Betsy Lilly says she thinks so, but we'll have to check. In fact, donors can make anonymous charitable gifts, but all major gifts must be disclosed to the Internal Revenue Service. NPR issued a statement saying it discloses the source of all major gifts to the government. The recording is part of what's being called an investigation of NPR by conservative activist James O'Keefe. Larry Abramson, NPR News, Washington.
Actor Charlie Sheen is suing Warner Brothers and the co-creator of Two and a Half Men for $100 million. In his lawsuit filed today, he charges Warner Brothers temporarily stopped production of the CBS sitcom to punish Sheen for making disparaging comments about Chuck Lorre, who's also the show's executive producer. The suit is also filed on behalf of the show's crew, which is now out of work. Sheen was fired this week. I'm Barbara Klein, NPR News.